It's here and now. And it's a scene that could have come out of Norman Rockwell, only set in 1981. Elizabeth Jennings, a Washington mom played by Carrie Russell, busies herself in the kitchen while talking to her son about his comic book.
So what's the trouble with these guys?
Well, Betty and Veronica were posting a charity drive.
Dad.
Yeah.
We launched our rocket today in science.
Wow, was it manned or unmanned?
Unmanned, but tomorrow we're going to give Commander Stafford a plaque to commemorate the mission.
Well, I'm sure he'd be very honored.
But Elizabeth and Dad, husband Philip, are not just mom and dad. In the FX TV series The Americans, the Jennings are Russian sleeper spies who combine ruthless acts of espionage with the daily errands. The Americans is just one of several shows that has Boston Globe television critic Matthew Gilbert smiling. He joins us in the studio. And Matthew, we say you're smiling, you're kind of happy with this mid-season state of television, but a lot of it, I mean, this show is a dark show.
It is a dark show, but all the good shows are dark, Robin. You know that. this show, I think, is so interesting. It's another one of those TV shows about people with dark secrets. You've got Dexter, you've got Breaking Bad, you had Homeland, and it's fascinating.
We should say Dexter, serial killer,
right.
Breaking Bad, methamphetamine dealer, Homeland, a mentally ill agent.
And a terrorist.
But in this case, Philip and Elizabeth, played by Matthew Reese and Carrie Russell, spies for a long time. Philip's starting to get tired of it. We can hear that in the scene. He's considering giving up the spy game. She's horrified.
You want to betray our country?
Well, after everything we've done, I don't think it's such a betrayal.
Defecting to America?
America's not so bad. We've been here a long time. What's so bad about it, you know? The electricity works all the time. Food's pretty great. Closet space.
Is that what you care about?
No, I care about everything.
Not the motherland.
I do, but our family comes first.
Matthew, all I could think when I listened to this is all I could think of is the real-life families, it was revealed a couple years ago.
That's right.
We're living this life, one right here where we are in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
That's right. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. How well do you think, though, this is supposed to be 1981, Cold War hasn't yet ended. How well do you think this show captures it?
I think it captures it beautifully. You really feel the urgency of these spies. They're still in the middle of the Cold War. Reagan has just come into office, and he's kind of renewed the FBI's efforts to find sleeper spies. And yet you can also feel them, and especially him, becoming a little seduced by the American way, yeah. The liberties that we have.
Quite something. Again, The Americans on FX TV, one of your picks. Another show, House of Cards. This is the one that's produced by Netflix. Most people know that as a movie service, but they're producing this TV show and distributing it in a very interesting way. Kevin Spacey plays Senator Frank Underwood. He helped President Garrett Walker get elected, but then Walker and his chief of staff, Linda Vasquez, reneged on their promise to make Spacey's character Secretary of State in favor of Senator Michael Kern. So now that you know the players, here's Kevin Spacey speaking with his chief of staff.
We are no longer bound by allegiances. We serve no one. We live by one rule and one rule only. Never again will we allow ourselves to be put in such a position.
Walker and Vasquez?
All of them. I hold them all accountable.
What, retribution?
No. It's more than that. Take a step back. Look at the bigger picture.
I think I see what you're getting at. Kern first?
That's how you devour a whale, Doug. One bite at a time.
Boy, Matthew Gilbert. I think Kevin Spacey is even scarier than
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's wonderful to watch on this show. You know, he is a devil, but he's so slick and smooth.
Well, and that's probably going to compel people to do what Netflix might hope they're doing. They're releasing all 13 episodes at a time because people are doing this, right? We're all sitting down and watching all of Downton Abbey.
I prefer to watch things gradually over time. Then each episode can sink in. Then you can cultivate the community around a show. It's much more enjoyable to me to savor a show over time than just sit down and really drive right through it.
Well, maybe what people will do is download all 13 and then savor them, as you said, like a box of chocolates.
Right, but we won't all be savoring them together at the same time.
No communal tweeting while you're watching, that's right.
I mean, I think this whole thing has brought people across the psychological divide from watching TV only through cable and networks. You know, it's brought us over to internet television, just as The Sopranos brought us to cable, you know, 15 years ago or whatever.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. The third show you want to mention, BBC America's Ripper Street, taking place in 19th century London, 6 months after the last Jack the Ripper murder. It stars Matthew McFadyen as Detective Inspector Reed, the head of the division that did not find Jack the Ripper. They failed. In this scene, he and his colleagues are investigating another murder, and Inspector Reed puts forth a theory. Let's listen.
She smashes the bottle into his head. She stabs his throat with it. He staggers. He shoots.
No.
What?
This wound. The skin. Subcutaneous fat. See how clean it's penetrated? She stabbed him with that bottle. The work would be jagged and the flesh scragged. This is the lancing.
Okay. Now, Matthew, I sat down to watch this show with some young adults, and it was like we saw the one where a serial murderer used the newly invented film camera to make snuff videos. This is tough stuff.
Yes, it is. But I feel as though the show is really about the violence. We are meant to feel the horror of what is going on. It's not like another show, The Following, that I know we're going to talk about. It's really about the birth of the rock star serial killer.
Yeah.
And the way that these kinds of crimes become almost, they almost develop a cult.
Yeah, really quite something. Well, yeah. You mentioned The Following, the Fox Network show, also about a serial killer, set in modern day, starring Kevin Bacon as a retired FBI agent called in to deal with this serial killer. He's using the internet to build up a following, as you say, the cult of killers to kill for him. Now, why aren't you as sold on this show as Ripper Street?
I just think The Following kind of fetishizes killings in gruesome ways without really showing the cost of all of that violence. And I don't like that. I find it kind of hollow. The show is very creative about showing different kinds of deaths, but they're just grotesque.
Well, that's why we love you, Matthew. And no gratuitous violence. Although, you know, as you said, the dark show's really capturing your imagination. However, we want to point out, you also have something to say about some of these cheerier shows that have, you know, music themes, for instance. You say that one of the benefits of these kinds of shows is they have all these platforms now.
That's right. It started really with American Idol. American Idol was just such a huge hit, not only on TV, but on iTunes and through other services. And Glee really pushed it further. Glee, I believe, has sold more records than the Beatles. So it's not surprising now that NBC wants their own double platform hit with Smash and Nashville on ABC.
Well, but you say NBC might not, isn't having the success with Smash, but your thoughts on Nashville?
It's not like Glee or Smash where the musical sequences are artificial, overproduced, and clearly made in order to be separated from the show and sold on iTunes. Nashville just really is very natural about the songs. The songs are all original. They're produced by the show's music producer, T-Bone Burnett, and they're all really well done. So the music fits in with the storyline really naturally. And the storyline is fantastic.
Yeah. The All About Eve of country music.
That's right.
So that's our look at mid-season television with Boston Globe TV critic Matthew Gilbert. Matthew, thank you as always.
Oh, my pleasure. You got the wrong song
coming through your speakers. This one. And of course, that's Connie Britton and Hayden Panettiere performing Wrong Song, Nashville Stars. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. To our local listeners, stay tuned to WBUR. Your WBUR, the whole newsroom, will be here for you all weekend. Everyone else, have a great weekend. Join us again to hear how things go here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. An entrepreneur has a radical plan to help homeowners whose homes are worth less than their mortgage. He wants towns to seize the houses and sell them back to the homeowners for less. Also, Danny Gregory tells his own story of love and loss with his intense and edgy graphic art. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.